This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. Our county mayor, Ernest Burgess, is with us this morning. And if you have any questions, the number to call is 893-1450. We underline those questions need to deal with Rutherford County, not any of the municipalities. Ernest, good morning to you.
Well, good morning, Bart.
Good to have you with us.
It's great to be here.
And just lots going on in the community. Winter is back with us. We had just a little brief glimpse ahead at springtime, and now the winter days are back with us. That'll make us appreciate the sunshine and warm weather when spring arrives.
I am definitely ready for the warm weather. Yes, I am.
Well, it's good to have you with us. Some of the things that are happening in the community, I know that the Rutherford County school systems, and this is on your agenda of things that need to be accomplished, you're looking for a new school director. How is that going at this point?
Well, I think the school board's doing a great job, you know, putting a plan in place to solicit applications, and then they have engaged, I believe, the services of Tennessee School Board Association to help them with that. So I believe our school board members are completely competent to make good choices, and I'm sure they're going to do that. They don't have a very long period of time to do that, in that they have to get this completed, I believe, before the elections. So they're moving along with that very nicely, and I commend them for that.
I know you're always trying to balance the budget. Money is not always just sitting out there waiting to be spent. And currently, the school board director, Harry Gill, he has a salary of, I think, about $135,000 a year. And he expires, his term expires June the 30th. Do you anticipate spending the same amount that you're paying Harry Gill? Or is there possibly a savings there if you had someone that could grow into the job or something of that sort? Or do you start at 135 and go up?
Well, I really don't know precisely the answer to that question, and that's certainly something for the school board to make that decision on. But I doubt if we're going to be able to attract the level of person that we feel has the leadership skills and experience to lead that 38,000-plus student organization for any less money. And I don't know if it's going to take more money or not. I guess a lot of it depends on whether they choose to bring someone in from the outside that might be expecting more, or maybe find some of our very competent people from within the system. That amount of money might be very appropriate. So I think that's yet to be determined, but I think there are good options out there, and I think they want to not do anything except pick the right person that has the right experience, and maybe that takes some more money, maybe it doesn't.
We'll just have to wait and find out, I guess. What is this we've heard about the wheel tax? Is there a future for the wheel tax? And I understand the General Assembly is looking into this. How's that shaking out?
Well, this business about the wheel tax, at least what we're discussing in our county, is simply that we're not going to be requiring the use of putting that little sticker on it. Cost for the wheel tax, the requirement for the wheel tax, that's not changing. That's not proposed to be changing. We're just proposing to not have to require them put that little sticker on the actual plate itself, in that that's not necessary. That will save a bit of money and a good bit of effort within our clerk's office. So it's just a routine kind of thing to improve the efficiency. But yet, we're not removing the requirement that we have to have for the purchase of a wheel tax when you renew your licenses.
The little stickers, I think, are costing around $13,000 annually.
That's right. Plus, there's a good bit of effort internally there, labor-wise, you know, affixing those, attaching those. So it will make our people that are servicing the counters there more efficient, and so it's just something that not a small improvement that we can make to make life more efficient and effective.
So if they have a Rutherford County license tag, you're going to assume that they have a wheel tax?
Absolutely, they will. They cannot get that tag without the wheel tax, because when they step up to the counter, if they get a renewal and they pay that, that will include that, and that will be part of their payment. So it's just nothing is changing there.
Another issue that is before the county, and we've had this come up before, having less county commissioners. First of all, you're the chairman of the board, so to speak, and they are the board of directors. Is it difficult sometimes to get 21 people to come to some consensus on issues, or would 14 be a better number, which is what they're talking about?
I haven't found that it's really been any real difficulty to get a group of 21 together. We've only had a few occasions whereby we had a close vote, you might say. Most of the time, it's pretty, after we vetted it through at least two committees, including the budget committee, and by the time it gets to our Board of Commissioners, it's been thoroughly and exhaustively discussed. So I think most of the time we've already been able to work through the difficulties, and people have a good understanding of what is before them. So I don't think it's really been a challenge just because we have 21.
Now, I will say that when this came up for a vote, it did not pass, but it has come up before. And would this save money, or why does it keep coming up?
Well, people, as you indicated, might think that one can be more efficient and decision-making can be streamlined. And yes, if you've got fewer people serving on the commission and serving on the committees, yes, you would save those costs that they're paid for each of those meetings. So it does have savings potential. But beyond that, it's not a lot of money, but it is money. So yes, there is some potential to actually save some dollars if that were to happen. Of course, the redistricting process and our census process only happens every 10 years. And the window of opportunity to make these changes is not completely open all of the time. So one has to go through a completely redistricting process and a reassignment. And so it's something that should be have a lot of forethought prior to and before an actual census takes place every 10 years, so that one can really be prepared thoroughly and equipped to be able to put that in place in a timely manner. Otherwise, you cannot do it.
I guess really, if you look at what the savings would be compared to what our county expenses are, it would be minimum.
It would be minimum. The other thing is, and this is another point that a lot of people have taken, with 262,000 people in the county, and sometimes it's hard enough with 21 people to properly represent those constituents that supposedly you're representing. And if you continue to shrink the number, that just increases each person's responsibility and the number of people they have to, you know, be attentive to and respond to. So they don't think necessarily that their sphere of influence would be adequate as we continue to grow, and if we continue to shrink the number, they think there is some sentiment that might not really be the right thing to do as far as their ability to represent their people effectively.
Well, we're right here in an election year, lots of things happening, and on the county level, there is a big election, actually two major elections coming up. Those are both on March the 6th. And how is that going? Is you think the you always hope for smooth transitions, and sometimes we see them and sometimes we don't see them. We've seen a few rocky transitions. This one, the road superintendent and the assessor of property, those are the two that are up for grabs basically this time. Give us sort of the county mayor's perspective of those two races.
Well, the county mayor, since I'm going to have to work with whoever the elected person is, tries to maintain as much neutrality as he can. And I basically believe that we've got some good candidates in both of those elections. And our citizens have a right and a responsibility to make a good choice. But I think that we have systems in place. We have staff in place at both the assessor's office and the highway department's office, that whoever comes in is going to come in with some people that are very professional and qualified and can assist them, and we have good, strong accounting policies and procedures in place. So I think whoever comes in, if they'll just be patient and work with those resources that are already here, that they could be successful, and I'm sure they will be.
And by the way, we will have all of those candidates on the air with us, where you can actually talk with them and ask them issues that concern you. We'll be telling you about those dates later on. In the race for the assessor of property, incumbent Republican Bill Boner is running for re-election. Boner is running against Republicans William C. Austin and Lance Jennings. Also in the running is Democrat Rob Mitchell. In the race for road superintendent, incumbent Mike Williams has decided not to seek re-election. Running in that race are Republicans Robert Alsup, as well as Greg Brooks, Buddy Gamble Jr., and Joe Frank Jernigan. Running as a Democrat is B.J. Smotherman. The election in the county will be on March the 6th. Early voting will take place February the 15th through the 28th. And that is just around the corner. Be here before we know it.
Absolutely. Early voting is starting, what did you say, just a few weeks away.
Yeah, 15th of February. Mm-hmm. 893-1450 is our number. Those are some of the issues that are before the county, some of the challenges ahead. You have any questions on those? Is there a concern of yours dealing with Rutherford County? Our mayor, Ernest Burgess, is with us this morning. If you have any questions, give us a call, 893-1450. We're going to check on the traffic and weather, and we'll be back, and we'll open up those phone lines, 893-1450.
There's a full moon shining on a Carolina night, driving my girl across the interstate line. Got a picture waiting, and it's how it's going to be. This baby's got a hold on me. Got a hold on. Got a hold on me. Got a hold on. The baby's got a hold on me.
Stand by.
G. Gordon Liddy is on the Good Neighbor Network.
It's on the G-Man.
G. Gordon Liddy, weekday mornings at 9 on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Score big this week at Ford of Murfreesboro. We're keeping the drive alive by putting our biggest and best players on the front line. America's best-selling truck, the 2011 Ford F-150 XLT Super Cab, just $21,988. The 2011 F-150 has more power and more miles per gallon. No wonder it's been named Motor Trend's Truck of the Year. See it today at Ford of Murfreesboro, 1550 Broad Street, or fordofmurfreesboro.com.
F-150 stock number F-363-662. Price includes $498.50 dealer processing fee. Excludes tax, title, and license with approved credit.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. We carry the full line of Tag Heuer watches, all at 15% off every day. Our in-house watch technicians will replace the batteries and pressure test all Tag watches for half the price of other stores in our area. Bring it into Bell Jewelers.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street in Murfreesboro, across from Toots. Family Staffing Solutions.
Without the caregivers, there would be no way I could have survived this alone. I had gotten to the point where nothing made any difference.
Stay independent at home.
Being old is not a punishment. It's a very significant phase of life.
Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions.
Check out all the options you have before you make a decision.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not. 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Quality automotive repair and diagnostics with service you can trust. Nationwide guarantee. Call 896-1407. Roberts Discount Auto Repair. I'm Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning. Traffic easing a bit on Broad at Memorial, also Memorial at Clark, I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231, and Church Street at Broad. We're also seeing still a little congestion, I-24 around the Bell Road exit, also I-24 westbound at the I-40 westbound exit, and I-40 west at Fessler's Lane. Lots of congestion there. Nashville Flight Training can turn your dream of flying into a reality. Call Nashville Flight Training at 366-9192, or just go online to nashvilleflighttraining.com. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather, brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
Rain showers are likely across the forecast area. Mainly cloudy skies. Our highs will be in the low 50s. and we'll have a light wind out of the north around 5. I'm WGNS Staff Meteorologist Mandy Feluber. Right now, 37.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
You learn from those with different opinions. You're getting a street smart education from Good Neighbor Talk, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Actually, that's the wrong song. It should be You Belong to the County.
Beneath the neon light.
Because that's our topic today, Rutherford County.
You were born in the city. Concrete under your feet.
County Mayor Ernest Burgess is with us today. If you have a question for our county mayor, this is your opportunity. 893-1450 is the number. 893-1450. We're beginning another challenge ahead, the budget season coming up. This may be a little less of a challenge than last year. Isn't our financing, aren't we in a little better shape?
Well, we are in pretty good shape, Bart, but this is not the first year we've had this difficulty. This is about the fourth year that we've had to really, really be very, very prudent and very, very careful not to spend any more than we have. And over this period of these years, our reserves that we've had in some of our ending fund balances have continued to be eroded because we didn't want to raise taxes. And so we've not been able to replenish those. So our ending fund balances are sort of at their policy limits, and we don't have the flexibility in our toolbox to really have any capital dollars available for much expansion for vehicles or technology and those kinds of things, in that our development tax funds, whereby we were collecting as much as $7 or $8 million several years ago, we're now down to $800,000+ this year and last year. So that doesn't replenish our capital, our flexible capital accounts, and we've worked that number down to something about $1 million+. So we don't have the flexibility, so we don't have the tools, we don't have the ability to expand or improve maybe like some of our departments and offices would like. So it's going to be another real struggle. And we just issued some bonds, and one of the things the rating agencies are telling us, hey, you're doing good, you've got a great county, great opportunities, the expansion and the growth has been good, but we need to be attentive to those reserves that you have in the general fund balances. And our policy is 15%. We're down to about 18% there. So we don't need to be thinking that we can continue to use that to prop up the shortfall for the current years. So it's a real struggle, and we must pay very, very close attention and be very, very attentive again for at least the fourth year in a row to manage the resources we have and not overspend them.
Let's go to the phones. Our number is 893-1450. You're on WGNS with County Mayor Ernest Burgess.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, could the county mayor tell where the dumping centers are? Because lately I've been noticing all throughout the county, in the more rural parts of the county, they've been dumping a lot of refrigerators and washing machines. And I've got a little bit of land in a certain area myself, and I just got done cleaning it about a month ago, and I come back, and somebody had dumped an old washing machine on it, and scraps of a refrigerator were like they pulled the copper out of it. And the strange thing about this is if they put a little bit more time in it, they could take it to one of those metal recyclers and get paid for it, besides being, lazy and dumping it. But if you could tell where people can go dispose those at, so maybe they'll be listening.
Okay, well, we've got several of those centers scattered across the whole county, our convenience centers. Of course, refrigerators and those things like that you have mentioned, they have to have the Freon and stuff removed from them before they can be deposited. But anyway, if you'll call our office, and I don't know that number at the solid waste department and our convenience centers, they can tell you precisely, or you can go online and find out exactly where our locations are, and they are strategically placed all over the county. And as you said, this is inappropriate. They have plenty of opportunities to deposit them in either our site or take them, as you suggested, to some of the metal recycle people and actually get dollars for that. So, and again, if you have those sites whereby you have found that they have been dumped on, we would be happy to try to work with you to clean that up and send some of our forces out there to help clean that up. So if you again will go into our phone book and get the phone number of our solid waste department and give them information as to some of the location, we'll see if we can work with you to help that. But all of those actual locations are listed on the website, and you can go on Rutherford County and you will find exactly the locations.
Okay, one more thing. Isn't that a crime in and of itself, just to be dumping that? I mean, it's not a, I don't think it's a real serious crime, but it's something they shouldn't be doing anyway, isn't that
I think, well, correct? Anything that you litter is a crime, I believe. I think that's correct. We just have to be able to find a way to identify who did that so that they can be properly addressed.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. By the way, I recognized your voice, and I want to say thank you. That listener brought by a new book for us, the Guinness Book of Records. And we're going to do a program on that. Some fascinating information on that. Thank you very much. 893-1450 is our phone number. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. 893-1450. Our guest this morning, County Mayor Ernest Burgess, and we're talking about Rutherford County. You know, the problem that listener brought up continues to be a problem, and that is people just don't seem to have respect for others, and that's what it boils down to. Let's just get rid of this, and we'll dump it on that person's property. Let it be their problem. And it's good to hear that the county is there to help us if that happens to us.
Absolutely.
893-1450 is our phone number, 893-1450. Are there some locations, I guess you could say, that seem to be dumped on more often than others? And I'm wondering, hunters use these infrared cameras that movement triggers it taking a picture. It'd be interesting to locate some of those somewhere and have pictures made of somebody dumping, and maybe an arrest could be made. A few of those incidences, and you might see it slow down a bit.
Yeah, I think it has slowed down. I mean, with the availability of all the options they have, including options within the city of Murfreesboro and other strategic places, it is much, much better, but we still have people that want to abuse and not respect the rights of others and trying to keep our county and our roads really looking good. So we'll have to continue to deal with that. It's much better, but it needs to be even improved.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with County Mayor Ernest Burgess. Hello. How are you today?
Hello. How are you doing?
Doing Bart? Doing great. Thank you for calling.
I'd like for Mayor Burgess to address why we don't have county work crews, inmates picking up litter anymore.
Well, we do still have that. We have our vans that are running routinely down our roads, both our state roads and our county roads. So we are addressing that. So if you have a particular road that we may not have gotten around to, call our solid waste department. They're in the phone book, and I should bring that number with me, but I don't have it. And remind us, but we are trying our very best to do that. Yes, we do that. I see a report on that every month.
And you have crews going out every day?
Yes, ma'am, we do. And on the weekends, the people that have been DUI offenses are out there helping pick up as well.
Yeah, I see them.
But we have
I don't see the county work crews like they used to be out every single day. And you would see them out on John Bragg Highway in that area, but I haven't seen anybody in over a year out there.
Okay. Well, I'll try to make a note of John Bragg Highway, but we're out there with crews every day, and that hasn't diminished. So we'll try to do a better job if we can in identifying those places that we might not have been.
Has the program changed at all?
No, it really hasn't.
Do you have a pencil by any chance? I have their phone number. I've checked
it. Okay.
It's 898 898-7739.
Okay.
That's the Solid Waste Department for the county. 898-7739. Good luck to you. Thanks for
calling.
Thank
you.
Bye-bye. I'll have to say the new phone book has gotten smaller.
You need a magnifying glass.
I tell you, that's a challenge sometimes. 893-1450 is our number. Good morning. You're on WGNS with County Mayor Ernest Burgess. How are you today?
I'm fine. In reference to the gentleman that called about the convenience centers and where they were located, if he'll get his current telephone book and look on page 99, middle ways down of the right-hand column, there's a list of every convenience center, telephone number, and address.
That's correct. Thank you.
Thanks for
calling.
You're
very welcome.
What are the operating hours? Do you have those?
They're on the website. Are they different? You know, we're closed on Monday and Thursday. I will tell you that. But the weekend hours are different from the weekday hours. So, and I don't have those memorized, but they're on the website, clearly labeled there.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with County Mayor Ernest Burgess.
Good morning. How you are doing?
Doing
good.
Fine.
My question is, in the past, there's been identified as some of the city streets are state streets. How is determined which streets within the city limits or outside the city limits are state-funded streets versus city or county-funded streets? Just like a little explanation on that. Thank you, and I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
Well, I mean, every street that's a state road is identified. I mean, there is a specific list that has every state road identified, state route such and such is identified. Now, in the county, every road out in the county that's not a state road is a county road, and we have a book that they update every year that it lists and identifies every road and where it is, what its distance is, et cetera, and other characteristics about it. So, and I'm sure the city has their list of streets just like we do in the county, but the state has a book, just like the county has a book that has its county roads identified in it. So that's how you can tell. It's pretty clear and well identified, and this has been in place for a while. And I know our county road board book, that's one of the primary things they do is keep focused on that so that they know exactly which ones they are responsible for, and they don't accept the responsibility for those roads. If it's a new road that's been built within a development or a subdivision, it has to be built and completed up to the standards that we require before we accept them into our responsibility for maintenance and put them in that book.
So if it is an older road that was around before some of these regulations were in place and nobody has ownership, it's a private road. Is that right?
Well, there are some of those. But all of that was carefully and thoughtfully looked at very in much detail when they first started this whole process years ago. So anything that has any semblance of being a county responsibility has been placed in that book. Some of those were private roads, and no, they're not going to get put in there because they were not ever intended to be a public road. Mm-hmm. Only those that were intended to be public and had been identified and accepted as public were placed there.
What makes a public road?
Well,
that's a loaded question.
That road has probably been developed with county funds for some particular reason. Nowadays, the development of new subdivisions and stuff, those roads in those subdivisions are the requirement of the developer. But he has to put those in place to the specifications for that road that the county has developed. And once that's done, then the county will accept the responsibility for maintaining those for the future. But they are not responsible for putting them in there in those particular developments. That is the new developer's responsibility. Then the process through proper inspection and procedures and seeing that they're completed properly, then they can come in and be accepted to be responsibly maintained by the county highway department.
And the reason I ask that, we frequently get questions, and you recall, from listeners who live on what are described as private roads. They don't describe them as private roads, but government, statutes say those are private roads, even though several people who are not related to each other have their homes fronting those roads. I mean, they are roads, but And nobody is there to help them maintain them.
But they chose to do that. I mean, those could have started with a single driveway. And then as other people chose to use that driveway and that access, they built properties on that road. If those people on those roads choose to go into, like a developer, and bring that road up to standards, and then put it in full compliance with the way a road should be built for public use, then they could petition that to be brought in as a public road once they've done that work. But we're not going to bring it up to standard.
Okay. 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS with County Mayor Ernest Burgess.
Good morning, Mr. Burgess.
Good morning.
Mr. Walker.
Good morning.
I was just calling to say I have made reports of trash being strewn along the road. It's out here at Hoyt Road and Old Nashville Highway. Hoyt Road comes to a stop sign at the Old Nashville Highway. There's commode tops, all kind of trash and baby diapers and things strewn up and down through there. It's on the side of the road. I have called and reported it to the County Highway Department. I've called the Sheriff's Department, the gentleman that's supposed to be over out there. The number that the mayor just gave me, I called that number, and the lady said she told me to call somebody else. I said, no, ma'am, the mayor just told me to call you. She said, well, I'll call somebody. And I said, well, you know, it's good to know that that can happen, that they can call somebody, but why do you get the buck pass when you try to call for certain services like this? And why don't they come and pick this stuff up without someone having to call and tell them? I walk every day, and it's just a shame that I had to walk through all the mess that I see.
Well, that's not good. We don't want that to happen. But it's like the lady said a while ago. We do have these litter pickup crews routinely going out. But you hadn't seen them, and they hadn't picked up that road there. I've made a note here, and we see we can't direct them to Hoard Road and Old Nashville Highway in that vicinity and see if they can't get some of that cleaned up. I mean, yes, we just, it's almost 1,000 miles of county roads.
Well, I understand that, so, but I mean, it's like Tennessee trash live down Hoard Road there, because, I mean, they throw baby diapers, or anytime you take a commode top and throw mattresses and stuff out, that's just trifling.
It absolutely is, and that's sorry about that.
Well,
and that's inappropriate.
I appreciate your time, man.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. And the buck will stop here. County Mayor Burgess has made notice of that. He's written it down, and I bet you'll see some crews out there. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Well, thank you.
Good.
Will not the Amazon increase volume of traffic and create problems to local citizens at the Joe B. Jackson and U.S. 41 Manchester Highway, make it unsafe for buck hunting and school traffic? Also, is there any plans to have a road all the way around the county, like Brawley Parkway or Old Hickory in Davidson County, to go all the way around and be able to go directly onto I-24 rather than having to get on, like now, the new in progress at 231? You come out at Barfield, you've got to get on 231 and make a big congestion there, to then go on up to County Farm Road, the new Joe B. Jackson that's now in progress. I don't understand throwing that traffic in like that. It's the same thing over here on the Shelville Highway at Rutherford. Thank you.
Well, what they're doing at Joe B. Jackson and what we've done with Veterans Parkway is a major, major improvement, and that does loop around the whole south and western and eastern part of our county when all that's completed. And yes, it does have that offset, you could say, as you described, as you intersect with 231 and go back to County Farm Road to get onto Joe B. Jackson. But those highway improvements are major, major improvements, and it's going to improve the whole flow of traffic around the whole county on that part of and that side of it. And yes, ideally, if they could have aligned those to come across directly from one another, it would have been even better. But these roads are very, very difficult and very, very expensive, and I think with the dollars available, they've done a remarkable job designing that. And anytime we put in a new business, you can say that will increase the traffic at that particular location. But some of that is good in that we have people living within our county right now that very much need a job. And if they can work at Amazon or any other place, such as NHK or whatever, on Joe B. Jackson, they're going to be traveling somewhere to work. And that's within our system, within our county. And I think those opportunities if properly managed with good roads and good flow and et cetera there, will overcome the difficulties that one might think that we're going to experience. So I really think it's a positive thing for us to move in that direction.
You know, as I was listening to her comments, I was trying to think, well, I thought that was what Northfield did. And then I started thinking about Nashville. They have roads that do the same thing, cover the area. But oftentimes, those roads appear to be more almost like interstates. Mm-hmm. 440, roads like that. I know our 840 has that kind of number to it, but it's not like 440 in Nashville that would connect the Green Hills area to areas over on Murfreesboro Road or other right. places like that. And I'm wondering if that's what she's referring to, roads that have less side entrances to them, and you could get from one end of town to the other easily, or one end of the county to the other.
Yeah. Well, Briley Parkway, she mentioned, it's not quite like you're describing there a semi, a small interstate, no. And it's been there for many, many years. But that's what Northfield and Boulevard and Rutherford Boulevard have done closer into the city. And that's what Veterans Parkway and Joby Jackson is doing further out. And there's a long-range transportation plan includes extending the Joby Jackson Parkway even further north, and then going back around toward 231 in some years in the future. So there's a plan there, and all of that is pretty much what she's suggesting that we do, but it just takes so long with so many millions and millions of dollars to make this happen.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with County Mayor Ernest Burgess.
Good morning. How are you all doing?
Doing good.
Just had a question here regarding the property taxes in the county. Back there was an article in the Daily News Journal back May 12th where it was reported that the assessments had increased 6.5% in the county, but yet the market value of the properties have dropped 4.7% for the same period of time. I was just wondering how that could be and why that would happen.
Well, it's not just the market value of existing properties that contribute to the total value of the assessments. As you introduce new properties, new developments, new commercial activities, all of those add additional properties to the tax rolls that weren't there previously. So when you couple all of that together with the proper valuation of properties existing and otherwise, then you do see and we have seen an increase in the total value of the assessments, in that we've got still growth going on here. We've had much growth. It's not quite as fast as it was previously, but all of that coupled together continues to feed the tax base and increases the overall valuation of all of the properties, because we got more properties and they're improved properties, and they continue to add value to the actual properties that we have in our whole system here in this county.
So we had an 11.2% increase from 2009 to 2010 in additional properties?
Well, I don't know those numbers. You're quoting those numbers, and I wouldn't say that I'm that up on them currently, but that's the concept, and I don't know about the 11% that you're quoting without getting the actual data and looking at it myself. But, I mean, if that's what they reported, I would think that's the case. But
the State Comptroller's Office even had a higher number than that kind of surprised me. It said that there had been a 13% increase over the prior year, and I just, I don't see that much growth in new stuff in Rutherford County.
That sounds like a big number to me, and I don't. That doesn't seem practical, okay? But I can't address that because I don't have good information from which to look at it right here in front of me.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. County Mayor Ernest Burgess is our guest this morning. We're focusing on Rutherford County. We will be back and take some of your calls. If you have a call, dial quickly. You'll be coming up next, 893-1450.
The only place you'll hear good neighbor talk is WGNS, Murfreesboro. Hey, call a friend right now. Spread that news.
Did you hear that on the radio?
I heard it.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
WeatherEye.
Rain showers are likely across the forecast area. Mainly cloudy skies. Our highs will be in the low 50s, and we'll have a light wind out of the north around 5. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Feluber. Right now, 37.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said, you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable Catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture. 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Murfreesboro owned, Murfreesboro proud. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Hey, welcome back. Niall quickly at 893. 1450, we're talking about Rutherford County, our hometown. 893-1450, best place around, Rutherford County. 893-1450, County Mayor Ernest Burgess is with us this morning. And if you have a question dealing with Rutherford County, all you have to do is give us a call. 893-1450. Right now, the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center is totally redoing the kitchen, and the folks at the workhouse are making the meals, three meals a day, not only for themselves, but for the, I think it was right around 900 inmates.
Well, I think they've about 800.
800, okay.
That's still too many, right?
A lot of folks anyway. At the workhouse, what are their two or 300 usually there? So there.
Well, no, about 150 about 100. Usually there, plus or minus. Yeah.
Okay. So those groups of inmates usually are making food for 150 or so, and using your figures, 800 or so, plus 150, that's scaring 1,000 to death. That's a lot of food.
Yeah, it's a 24/7 operation almost on that. Of course, we're not actually distributing food. We're making that food in bulk, and they're transporting it in bulk to the adult detention center, and then the staff and the inmates over there are actually preparing and serving the food, you
putting
might say.
Putting it out in dishes.
Right.
but they're physically putting it together.
We're physically having to prepare that much quantity and volume of food.
Has to be a challenge.
It is a major challenge.
Is that soon going to be completed, or
not quick enough? we're drawing plans for the new expansion and renovation of that kitchen at the adult detention center. We'll take bids in February on that. Then it'll take us months to build that, so it'll be summertime before we get through with this experience, you might say.
Now, do the inmates at the workhouse, and they're the ones who are physically doing this, is that right?
Yes.
Do they get extra time for the extra duty? Or?
Well, no, try to engage as many of those inmates in work that we can, whether it's out picking up litter or working within the building there with laundry or kitchen or otherwise. So that's not any more of a duty than any of the duties they've had heretofore. We just have the need for more people to provide those services now, and that's helpful. That's helping all of them have something to do constructively.
So you say you try to engage them. If they say, man, I don't want to do that. I just want to watch TV.
If they're physically healthy and there's no other impediments, they work.
Okay, so they don't have a choice.
No.
I'm glad to hear that, because I thought they had the choice. I thought they, you know, if they wanted to just sit there and watch TV for 3 months or whatever their sentence is, they could do that. But they don't have a choice then.
No.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with our county mayor. How are you today?
Fine. You?
Doing fine. Thanks for calling.
I just was wondering about the last caller there, and I sort of caught up part of it. Y'all haven't raised taxes in how many years?
I thought about that earlier. I think we raised them in 2006 or 7. I'm not sure, okay? I'd have to go back.
Okay, and then one other question. So you hadn't raised taxes, you're thinking about since 2006 or 7, but the people pay more because you're taxing more on the assessed value. Is that right?
Well, here's what, every 4 years we reassess all of the property. Okay, and once that's done, the rate may change. It may go up or go down, the rate. But that doesn't mean that you're necessarily paying any more dollars in taxes. The state requires, every time you do this assessment, to create or compute what is called a certified rate. So we had a rate before the last assessment. I don't remember the precise number, but let's say it's $2.72 per $100 of assessed value. And now the rate is $2.42 with some odd pennies after that. So you see that went down. But on the average, what that means is this. We had more property in our total base of property, which gave us a larger group of dollars from which to assess. So we had to reduce, in order not to raise your taxes, on the average, we reduced that rate from 272 to 242, and thereby... typically, you should not have had an increase in your taxes. Some would pay a little more, some would pay a little less, but theoretically, according to the computations that are made, everybody was made, you might say, a neutral, equal. So that's a little bit of an explanation on how that works.
Well, I was just
so that wouldn't, if we use the certified rate every time we reappraise property, theoretically, we're not supposed to collect any more taxes from you folks than we were collecting previously. But that rate can go up or down depending on what happens to the evaluations.
Right. So, in other words, when y'all say that you're not raising our property taxes, but when that other tax goes up and our price and we pay more, that means that our taxes really went up. It's just a different way of saying that you don't raise taxes. It's just a different way of going around it, right?
No, that's not correct. When we lowered that tax rate from the 272 to the 240 plus, was trying to put every one of you in the same position as far as the dollars of taxes you make. Now, if the property values decrease and our tax base goes down and we reappraise and the state tells us that the certified rate should go up from 240 something to 260 or whatever it might be, theoretically your value of your home has gone down. Therefore, when we apply the value of your home down against a higher rate, you pay the same, quote, dollars in taxes out. So it's supposed to be a neutral effect. But if we had a certified rate, in which we did, we went from 272 down to the 240 plus. If we'd have held that at 272, or if we'd have done anything higher than the 240, you would have had a tax increase, actually, in the dollars that you have to write a check for.
Let me ask you this, because we've had a lot of people, and if you look at the real estate market, you'll see some of the homes that previously had values of, say, $300,000. They're lucky to sell them if they find a buyer for $200 or $210 or $15. Everybody's wanting a bargain. Nobody wants to pay the value of what things used to be. What do you tell those people? They get the value of their home estimated.
But all of this, that's the reason you do a reassessment. Everybody has to be reviewed again individually. Each parcel, over 100,000 parcels have to be reviewed. And the process requires looking at all of the sales that have taken place. So if we see that the values of properties are going down, then that puts everybody again on an equal footing. So that may happen even next time if we've had those kinds of changes in the market values. Then when they come back with our certified rate, they're going to tell us you got to go up to collect the same money. So we raise that rate, but your valuation is less. So theoretically, again, if you were paying $1,000, you still should be paying $1,000 in the total dollars. So things go up and down based on what happens within the economy and what happens within the market value of all of the properties, whether it's residential or commercial or otherwise.
And on that note, we thank County Mayor Ernest Burgess for joining us today.